Well, how aware are you of the words that you speak, day in, day out? We probably don't think a whole lot about it, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we hear ourselves speak and we wonder, what was that just came out of my mouth? I'm not even sure what that was. Sometimes it just didn't make sense. Sometimes we just didn't even realize we thought what we thought or we felt what we felt. And sometimes it just comes out. That happens. But sometimes we're not aware of our words. And we just say things flippantly. We just say things that we don't sometimes even... Sometimes we say things we don't even believe. Isn't that weird? Sometimes you say, do I really believe what I just said? And sometimes we have to catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm going to backtrack on those words. Do you ever consider the quality of your words? Do you ever consider that your words have an effect on your life? Or they certainly are speaking about what's going on the inside of you. And when you are faced with difficulties in life, how often do you go to the Word of God? How often do you go to the Word of God? Is that a daily activity for you? Certainly is it an activity for you when you are faced with difficulties. Do you use the Word of God in your life, applying it to your life, in every area of your life? Or are there certain areas of your life that you don't, or you seldom apply? How do you see God's Word? Do you see God's Word as having power to accomplish things that cannot be accomplished in the flesh, beyond the flesh? I want to look today at our confession. What words do we hold on to? What words do we speak? What comes out of our mouth? Are we bringing life into our situations and to others as we speak, or are we doing the opposite? Words have the ability to affect our situation, our life, and how we speak and what we speak is important. Now, I'm going to use Job's wife as an example really quickly. But remember what Job's wife said to Job when they were in the most miserable of times. They had just gone through incredibly miserable times, and Job was lost everything. And he was covered in boils, sitting in ashes, just as miserable as you could possibly be miserable. And Job's wife just says to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Good words of encouragement, right? Just good words of encouragement. Now, Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" So Job heard those words, and in the foolishness there, that word being used is really someone who's morally falling short. In a most simple way of saying it. That's what the word foolish is there. And so Job recognizes that his wife is cursing him with her words. And those words are harsh. But he doesn't accept those words. Job doesn't accept those words. But he does accept God's word. And of course, you know, I'm not going to preach on Job today. There's a long back and forth between Job and God. And finally, Job just comes to this place and just in a real surrender before God. And he says, "God, I accept your words." And I think this is important for us today. Do we know God's word? Do we accept God's word? Or do we accept something else? You know, sometimes we regret the words that come out of our mouth. And I think that's every one of us. We've said things that were not helpful. We could have been like Job's wife, or maybe not that harsh, but we didn't help a situation. We cursed a situation with our very words. And we may not understand this fully. You know, this power of words, and I'm not saying, telling you here, I understand it fully. Do I understand how God speaks forth creation in his words? Do I really understand that the power of God's words spoken? I don't really understand that. But I do know what the Bible says, that God spoke and it came to be. That's beyond me, right? I don't understand. But I do understand And even enough experience in life, there is power in words and what we agree with and what we speak forth. And even the authority that God gives us and how we can use words. So we may not understand this fully, but I do want to say this. We do need to, at times, repent of our words. Repent of harmful words. Words carelessly spoken. Words that have no life in them. Maybe actually they have death in them. And there's times we need to break the power of any harmful words or the doubt and unbelief that's hindering our situation and our walk with God. So I want to talk about our confessions today. It could be as simple as this. Have you ever heard anyone say that I'm good for nothing? Have you ever said that about yourself? Have you said that about somebody else? Oh, you're just a good for nothing. There's power in those words. Now, is it true? Right? It might not. You know, we can sit here and say, that was said about me. Or that was said about you. Or I said about myself. And sometimes we have to catch ourselves. Sometimes something's come out of our mouth. I'm no good. I'm stupid. I'm this. I'm that. And then we have to catch our words and say, wait a minute, is that true? I may be having a bad moment right now. Right? And sometimes we have bad moments. But it's not true. And sometimes we'll speak that about ourselves, and sometimes other people will speak those words over us. Sometimes we need to do it over others, and we need to repent. We need to repent of those words and take time before God and break the power of these words, right? I'm not a good for nothing. In fact, I have a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for my life. God loves me, right? God loves you. You know, we need to start speaking what God says about us over our lives, and we need to break the power of any ungodly words that were spoken over us. We need to say, I don't believe those words. I don't accept those words. I don't receive those words. And it's so important that we don't let them just stand there idly in our lives, having a place in our lives. We need to instead respond to what God's purpose is in our lives and the many good things He has for us. We all feel weak sometimes. I think that's a reality. We all feel weak. We have our weaknesses. And we're all tempted, especially in our time of weakness, to speak hopelessness or to speak hopeless words instead of speaking the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We begin to, at times, to expect bad things because that's what happened in the past. So we kind of start expecting that's what's going to happen in the future. And we start speaking that. Maybe nothing good can come out of this situation because we've seen this situation not change or not turn out well. But Scripture tells us something very important. And it's about our confession and the confessions that we make. Scripture tells us to hold fast to our confession of Christ as our Lord and Savior, and really always acknowledging who He is. Jesus is the one who gives us life. He's the one who redeems us. He's the one who helps us in times of trouble. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks about who Christ is. And this is important to our confession. This is very important to the words we say. Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Really want to focus on that. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us, to help in time of need. Each and every one of us has weaknesses. Each and every one of us has times of need. But we have a high priest who intercedes for us, who is there on our behalf, calling us to come to his throne of grace, to come to him, to trust in him, to lay everything at his feet. And it's important that we hold fast our confession. You know, it always goes back to Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Who is he to you? Who is he to us? Now, we know who Jesus, you know, we can see the scriptures say who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's, you know, you just keep going down. He's there for us at all times. He's the God of grace, the God of glory. And we have this high priest who intercedes for us and understands our weakness. He understands us. He understands the weakness of our flesh, the temptations of our flesh. He understands these things, and he's able to help us at all times, in all times of trouble. He's able to help us. So this passage absolutely is saying never give up. Never grow hopeless. There's never a reason that we should ever be hopeless because we have Christ. And our confession should be of the one who gives us hope, who fills us with hope. And that invitation is there. Come to the throne of grace, because as much grace as you've received, there is more. There's more grace for what you need today. And there's going to be more grace for you tomorrow. So we continually come to the throne of grace in our weakness. You see, if you're prideful, you can't do that, right? If you're prideful, you can't come to the throne of grace because you won't actually realize that you're weak, because you're still acting like you're strong. And in your flesh, you cannot receive the grace of God if I'm just prideful in my flesh. So we come knowing our weakness, knowing our need, and we come to the throne of grace, and God meets us there. Because we're never hopeless and we're never helpless. God pours out his grace, and he can meet us in any situation. So Scripture says, hold fast to your confession of Christ and who he is, always coming back to this reality of who Christ is. Because that's why we can confess the Word of God. That's why we can confess that we are saved, we are redeemed, that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. We can come back to our confession because of Christ. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. He's Lord of Lords. So we continually come back to this confession of who he is, because it now should affect everything we say. Hold fast. Simply put, hold tightly, hold securely. Don't let go. Don't let go. When we get in times of trouble, we're tempted to let go of our confession. And we're tempted to start saying things that are really not in character with Christ. And they're really out of character of who we're called to be as Christians. And we'll say things really false. But this is all why the Scripture says to hold fast. We don't want this temptation to loosen our core faith in Christ. I don't know if you've ever heard when you're going through a difficult time, but the enemy's there always when you're going through a difficult time and will ask you this question. It says, where is God right now? Have you ever had that happen to you? You're going through a hard time. You're going through a difficult time. Where's God right now? That's the devil. He likes to ask that question because he wants you to doubt and he wants you to believe that the goodness of God that you experienced in the past is no longer available to you. God forgot about you. He abandoned you at the last bus stop, and he's not coming to pick you back up. You know that desperate feeling a child can have, right? Lost in the mall or in a store. That desperate feeling of where's my adult? Where's my parent? Where's my caregiver? But that's what the enemy wants us to act like. Like we're orphaned. We've been abandoned. But that's why the Scripture says, hold fast. Hold fast to your confession. Because you're not abandoned. You're not forsaken. You are not orphaned. So never act, right? Never get into alignment with that. And if we do get into alignment with that, we need to repent and say, forgive me, Lord, because I felt abandoned, but I wasn't. You were there always. I felt, Lord, that you didn't care about me and my situation. Lord, forgive me. See, this is why I'm saying we do need to repent, because we'll feel something. And sometimes that feeling will lead us to unbelief, doubt. It will lead us into directions that God never intended for us to go. And so we have to come back and say, Lord, that wasn't true, what I believed. I believed this, but it wasn't true. Forgive me. Because, Lord, I know now that you were with me at all times, even when I felt like I was abandoned. So important, this confession of our faith. This is sometimes what we need to do every day. Whether we're having a hard time or not having a hard time, whether we're going through difficulties or not, we confess our faith. The words of our mouth are so significant. We need God's grace every day. Grace to do what we cannot, and strength to overcome our troubles and our situations that we're in. But be careful about what comes out of your mouth. Hear what comes out of your mouth, because what we confess does have importance. Now hear these words from Scripture. You probably know these well. Proverbs 18:21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, sometimes we're like, Lord, really? Do my words have that kind of power? When we're speaking over our situations in life, they do. When you're speaking over a child, oh my goodness, what power do we have when we speak over our child or over our spouse or over our situation that we're in life? There's power in the tongue, power of life and death. Think about a child growing up in a family. The child who's loved on, affirmed, blessed, we see that child prospering in their soul, right? I mean, the child will still make mistakes and learn and grow, but the environment they're in and the words that are affirming them and blessing them and speaking life into them are giving them a platform to prosper. But the other family, right, that the words are always negative, put down, you won't amount to anything. You know that that environment is like putting a ceiling on a child that is keeping them down and keeping them from prospering. And really, when a child does prosper, it's because it was in spite of, right? They broke through the ceiling, praise God, and they began to learn who they were in Christ Jesus. Now, they might not have gotten that in their home. But we know words have a powerful effect upon how people even see themselves. Your words have a powerful effect upon your children, your grandchildren, friends, family. And we have the opportunity to speak life. Someone you meet along the way, you have the opportunity to speak life into them and into their situation, to pray with them, to give them hope. The hope you have in Christ Jesus, you share with others. Because that's what they probably need right now. They need today. They need to hear the hope you have in Christ, that they can have that same hope. So we have to think about this power of the tongue and to speak as we have this power to speak life over our situations, over our lives, over others. At the same time, we know there's power to speak death, even cursing a situation with our very words. What comes out of our mouth is important. You know, the Bible says even salvation, our salvation comes out of our mouth. Now, let's look at a scripture and see what are we talking about. Then it says our salvation comes out of our mouth. Well, we can affirm it. Romans 10, verse 9. I want you to look at this scripture here. with me. Because we must, let me say this, we must have a profession of faith, okay? We must have a profession of faith to be saved. Romans 10, 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. There's two things happening here that are very important to our salvation. It is faith to believe, right? We believe. We believe in our hearts. But then there's something else, and it's very important, that the ESV and the NASB uses the word confess, okay? Where the NLT, and this is the NLT here, the NLT uses the words openly declare, okay? It's the same. Same thing, to confess, to openly declare. What you believe, you must confess. You must openly declare. Okay? This is one thing about baptism. This is why baptism is so important, because you must openly, before mankind, declare your belief in Christ Jesus. Okay? Some people say, well, you know, I can just have this private belief and not tell anybody. No? You've not, I mean, according to Scripture, you've not fully come in. There's something in your heart that's holding you back, because you have to, before men, before mankind, confess your faith. See, faith has to be confessed. It has to be professed outward. Because really, the Scripture is saying it's not a done deal. Because if there's something in your heart that won't profess, there's something wrong with your belief. It has to be something you profess to others. You openly declare. I don't know if we ever thought about that. But our words matter. In some ways, I mean, it's like our words seal the deal. Like, you know, the old days where you shake hands on a word and the deal was done. I know that's not the way it is anymore. Frankly, because you can't trust people's word half the time. But God's word is true. God's word is true all the time. And if we will stand upon it, and if we will confess it, it has power to change our lives. So we believe upon the word of God, and we confess it as true, and we apply it to our lives. So we confess, because the Scripture says we confess what's in our heart, right? We openly declare what we believe in our hearts. What do you believe in your heart? Check your words. Check what you're saying. Check what you're speaking. That will show you. That will lead you to the pathway of what you believe. Our faith. The faith that we have in our hearts will be evident in the things that we confess. So we live by faith, not just, and as we live by faith, it's not just a one-time confession, right? The Word of God is for every day. And so as we confess the Word of God, we do so, yes, for salvation, but in all things. In all things in life, we need to hold fast to our confession, to speak by faith in the one who has saved us and delivered us from all troubles. Our words have power. And I say this because I believe we can enter a Christianity, if we're not careful, that God can save us, but God can't heal us. We can enter a Christianity that God can save us, but God can't provide finances for us. We can enter a Christianity where God can save us, you know, from death, but God can't restore our marriage or our relationships. So we start saying things, well, the Word says, God, you know, I'm redeemed, I'm saved, you know, Romans 10, 9. Oh, but Lord, the Bible doesn't say anything about finances, so let's not try to confess the Word over my finances. All right? I mean, do you believe that? I mean, some people believe that because the Word of God never gets in their finances. Or the Word of God never gets into their relationships. They start living a relationship that's totally apart from God. You know, they read the Word about how to walk out a godly relationship. It's there in the Scriptures. Oh, but let's ignore that. Let's not have that in my life. I'm just going to do what the world does. So I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but I'm just living like the world in relationships. Well, what are you going to eat the fruit of? Are you going to eat the fruit of God's word in your life, in your relationships? Are you going to eat what the world, of what the world does? Because that's what you're imbibing of. So God and his word needs to be in every area of our lives, and we need to confess it and apply it to every area of our lives. And we've all experienced, you know, Lord, I didn't follow your word. Lord, I didn't do what you were saying. I didn't apply the word of God. I didn't confess it over my situation. How much do you trust God? It always comes down to my confession of faith. Lord, who do I say that you are? Who are you really? To me? To you? To what do I really believe? And how far am I willing to take it? How much am I willing to trust you? Those are not easy words to hear, but God says, trust everything in me. Trust everything in me and see God saying, see that I will prove faithful, because he's faithful. God's faithful to his word. He will not let us down. So do we trust God? What do we say? How do we speak these words of trust in our life, in our situation? And I really believe this. I cannot believe what I'm not willing to say out loud. If I believe it, I need to speak it. I need to be able to share it with somebody. And if I'm not sure what the Word of God says, then I mean, I need to learn. I need to grow. Say, Lord God, teach me. Lord God, show me. God, reveal to me. Because I'm struggling. It's okay to struggle. I'm struggling in this area of my life, and I'm struggling. Lord, help my belief. Right? We see that where it's just, we have to go to God. God, Lord, help my belief. Help me to understand your word and apply it to my life. I'm reading it. I'm seeing it. But Lord, I'm struggling to even believe it. But we know that faith has to be involved. Applying God's word to our lives, there has to be faith. Otherwise, we just, well, Lord, okay, but that's for somebody else. And faith is not what we see. Faith works in the unseen realm. We might say something like, Lord, I don't see it yet, but I'm going to speak your word over my situation. See, that's faith, right? I don't see it yet, but I'm speaking your word, what you say, into my situation. So I confess, even when I do not yet see. See, there has to be faith. There has to be this aspect of faith with the word of God. Isaiah 53 says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, the stripes that he took upon himself. We're healed. We're healed, right? But what if I don't see healing? Then am I really healed? But it's applying the word of God by faith to even that which I do not yet see. My profession of faith is not based on what I see. It's upon his word. It's upon him. See, my confession of faith always comes back to him, always, of who he is. What if there's lack of finances or resources in my life? Do I get in the flesh and go charge everything on a credit card and get in a lot of debt? No, you know, I mean, you know, even in this world, well, you hear a lot of teachings, but good sound counsel would say, don't do that, right? That's foolishness. Don't do it. And God's not going to bless that. You know, he doesn't bless actions and words that were applied or going in the wrong direction. God's looking to bless faith, the faith that we have. I want to say that sometimes we go through financial difficulties. I think God even will allow us to do that because it's a place to grow in faith. It's a place to grow. I mean, any difficulty we go through is a place where we can grow. But it's the applying of faith. Okay, it's like... No, it's not totally like that. So I'm going to have to use that example. But faith is a muscle we need to develop. It's a growth. It's a doing. It's an activity, okay? And faith is sometimes stepping out into an area that feels kind of scary, kind of unknown. But this is why we need the Word of God. And this is why we need the counsel of His Spirit. And this is why we need to be led by the Spirit. If anything, and I see this over and over, difficulties will, if you allow it, cause you to go deeper with God, to get deeper in His Word, more rooted, more dependent, more hungry after Him. But we have to get past the whole thing. Well, let me figure it out first, Lord. Let me try my way first. We do that. Let me try my way first, and the Lord will do it. Okay, we'll try your way first. See how that, don't blame God, okay? We just come back to Him when things are not working out. So when the credit card is overcharged, okay? The Lord can help you get out of that, but you need to do it His way. Like, there's His way of doing it. So that's just an example, right? That's just an example. God wants to bless us as we walk in faith with Him. And He's working to bring us to wisdom, to a place of wisdom, not out of foolishness, into wisdom, into His Word. Wisdom to handle difficult situations. You know, when we face difficult situations, we can choose, right? We can choose to live by fear, or we can choose to live by faith. We'll be tempted to fear, right? When things all of a sudden happen, and things shift and they seem out of control, we'll be tempted to fear. But how is my life in faith, walking with God, going to help me in those times where it seems like the navigation is out of control? But if I have Christ, I mean, you look, if Christ is with you, at least in the boat, you know, even if you're afraid of dying, you can wake Him up and say, Lord, help. And He speaks the word that calms the storm. We can too. He gives us that authority, right? But sometimes we feel like we can't speak the word to calm the storm. But at least we have Jesus in the boat. I mean, you know, we need to be walking with Jesus every day. And we can speak words that can calm the storm. Words of faith. Words of our belief. Authority that we have in Christ. This is what we learn. This is what we're to grow in and mature in the Lord. Our confession is important. You know, if I'm confessing fear or overcome by fear, I'm not going to see God move in my situation. I'm going to be overwhelmed by fear. But if I have faith, even the faith of a mustard seed, that's where God can meet that. He just wants us to have that little faith. Little faith. But He can meet us in that place, and He can do amazing things. And He can start taking us to places where really breaks the pattern sometimes in our lives that we get into. So you need to watch our words. You know, we'll think some things are impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. So sometimes we don't know, and we cannot see. And we can tell God that. Lord, I can't see it. I have no idea. Lord, I don't see how this is possible, but I trust You. But you can confess your weakness. It's okay to confess your weakness. Lord, I'm not able. I can't do this. But Lord, I know You have a way. I know that You can make a way. And I'm going to trust You that You can help me out of this or through this and actually can come out in a much, much better way. God can do this in all situations, in everything. But we need to say, Lord, lead me in wisdom. Help my unbelief to overcome, to take steps of faith. And to bring my confessions, and this is important, to bring what I confess into alignment with Your word and Your truth. And to stop saying things that go counter to that. So we cancel, it's important that we take authority to cancel every false word that we've spoken, or every false word spoken over us, every lie, every deception, We just break that in Jesus' name. Also, Lord, reveal to me what is false, because sometimes we don't see it. Reveal to me what I have believed, but it's not right, it's not true, but I believed it. It might be even from your childhood. You believe something, and you've kind of held on to it, and you kind of think it's still true, really, because it's the way you act. It's the way you live. And we need to cancel that and say, no, that's not who I am. And we pray, Lord, strengthen me to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Lord God, to walk by the Spirit and the Word and not by my feelings. We can do this in all situations. We choose to live by faith in the Word of God. You know, God's given the Word, a sword in our hands. We need to use it. We need to apply it. Jesus showed very clearly, even at when he was so weak, 40 days of fasting, weak in the flesh, he was decaying in the flesh. He could hardly stand. And how did he fight his battles? Not in the flesh, but by the Word of God and the Spirit of God in that Word. And did he defeat his enemy? Yes, he did. He defeated the adversary, because the enemy cannot defeat the Word of God applied by faith. If you have the Word and you have faith, you have the Spirit and the Word working together, the enemy cannot defeat that.
Amen.
So we need to bring those together in our confessions. And again, let me ask, when you go to confess a word and you're like, but Lord, I don't know if I believe this. That's the place where we need the heart change. Lord, do a work in my heart so that I understand that your word is true and to apply it correctly to my life. So we have the sword of the Spirit and we have the shield of faith. He says, use it, use that shield of faith. For all the fear the enemy wants to send your way, every fiery dart he wants to send your way, every lie he wants to put into your mind, use the shield of faith. Don't go about your day without your armor. The very tools that God has given you to fight the good fight. Use it. And speak the word of God. Every day into your situations. Just say what the word says. I am a child of God. I am his beloved. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Say it every day. I belong to the Father by the blood of the Lamb. I've been bought. I'm free. The Word of God sets me free. Say these words. Speak them over your life. Now, speaking the Word of God is not a magic pill. Again, it's faith. It's belief. And it's professing that belief. Isaiah 55. As we look at the last few scriptures here. Isaiah 55, verse 10. God's word will accomplish what it's sent to do. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's a promise, by the way, that God's word will not return void. There's power in his word to accomplish what God sent it to do. Saving lives, healing bodies, transforming minds, changing lives forever and ever and ever. And John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken, Jesus is speaking, by the way, the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Spirit and life. God's word will not return void. Years ago, 14 years ago, We were expecting Sophia. And Erica was pregnant. We were going in for ultrasound. And this was fairly early on. I don't even know if we knew if it was a girl or a boy. This was fairly early on. But in the development in the womb, the ultrasound showed, at least the doctors kind of pulled us aside at the end and told us there was something they were concerned about, something they saw. They weren't sure. They invited us to take some more testing, but we said no to that. Erica, while the ultrasound was happening, before we met with the doctor, she heard these words dropped into her spirit. Simply this: she has the mind of Christ. Beautiful words, straight out of the scriptures, that we have the mind of Christ. And so those words were given to her. And it was comforting, it was nice, it was good. It's like, yes, she does, you know? But then it was after that that we met the doctor, and the doctor said, well, we have a concern, we're not sure what it is, but we invited us to do more tests, and we didn't do more testing. But they said, well, if you don't want to do the testing, come 2 weeks from now, and we'll do another ultrasound, and we'll just keep track of this and kind of see if it's, you know, if it's something or not. And so we did. You know, we did go back to an ultrasound 2 weeks later. Now, in the meantime, and really... we talked about this. Erica shared with us that this is what God dropped in my heart. And then we talked about that. And then she affirmed, and I thought the same thing, that God gave that to us to confess in this situation. Like, he gave it to you before we even knew that there could be an issue. But we felt like this was the Lord saying, confess this word over her in the womb. And so we did. Every day we confess this over her. She has the mind of Christ. She's healthy. She's whole. She's blessed. And we would just pray over her and touch her in the womb, their belly, you know, pray. And it just daily we would confess this over her. And 2 weeks later, we went back, and they said the ultrasound was clear, it was great, it was wonderful, no problem at all. They didn't see any abnormality of any sort. Now, I can't tell you because we never knew. We never really got a diagnosis to know if there was going to be a problem or a major problem. But when the Lord gives you his word, you stand on his word. This is why sometimes we say, Lord, in this situation, would you give me your word? Because sometimes we need his word to stand on. And we'll do that. And if we will do that and we'll apply that, and just by faith saying, Lord, we believe that everything's okay. And we know we got a beautiful, healthy, wonderful young girl, baby. She was beautiful from the very get-go. No problems whatsoever. And so we're thankful, but we know, right? We know God's word has power. It has power. So we don't want to wait and see when the problem arises. We just want to go ahead and speak the word over our lives and the lives of others, our family, the church, other people that we're praying for. We just want to speak the word of God. Where are you today with your confessions? How are you confessing today? What are you confessing today? What are your expectations? How do you speak forth your expectations? Is anything good going to happen to you today? Well, I'm just going to say something good is going to happen to me today. I just hope you can confess that about your life too. And you believe it. God is with me. He's for me. He's not against me. He's not abandoned me. He's working all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who love him. We could speak these words and have good expectations in our lives. Let the word of God guide you and speak it over and over in your lives today. I hope you'll take time this week. Watch your words. What are you saying? And what are you believing? Let it be the word of God.